Experience worship. True worship. Experience the Word, bringing you wholeness. Experience the warmth of fellowship. Experience wholeness at Lighthouse. Join us every Sunday and Wednesday at the Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. Visit our website at www.lighthouseng.org or contact us at info@lighthouseng.org. The Lighthouse, lighting your pathway to destiny.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be in Lagos again. I bring you love from my wife and my two daughters. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we left Lagos January last year to plant a new work in Abuja. God has been faithful. And every time I come back to Lagos, I experience Lagos again. I have to tell you that, you see, when I first went to Abuja, everything was different. When I was driving for the first time, you know, the normal Lagos honking now, it had gotten to me. I didn't know. But I was honking the normal way now, and somebody wound down to look at me like, what's wrong with you? And that's when I thought, oh, it's not like that here. You know, because everybody's so apprehensive, on the edge, you run in to do something in Lagos. You know, I'm always very shocked when I go to some shops, 9 a.m., they are not open in Abuja. But the moment I come to Lagos from the airport, from the airport to Mobolaji Bank and Tony, when I use maybe 40 minutes, I know that I'm home. Hallelujah. Everybody has a Lagos story. If you stay in Lagos, you definitely have a Lagos story. Long hours in traffic. Some people spend as much time on the road as you will spend on air if you're traveling to London. You know, so you have stories of traffic. You have stories of fuel scarcity. Have you had to do some ramble moves? You know, maybe struggling for fuel, queuing, you know, and all of that. I promise you this is heading somewhere. You know, or electricity stories, going 3 months without lights. Do I have a witness? Have you experienced that before? You know, or bus stories, if you had to fly public transport, sexual harassment, assaults, insults, and then to the little things, people spying into your phone to see who you are chatting with, joining conversations uninvited, you know, all of that, and then you paid money but the vehicle stops, so you have to come back and come down and trek to the next bus stop. And the reason why I'm saying this is because of a story in the Bible that reminds me a lot about Lagos. In Luke chapter 24, the Bible tells us about two men from verse 13. Luke chapter 24 from verse 13, it says, and I read, it says, "And behold, two of them went the same day to a village named Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. Do you know what 60 furlongs is? It's about 7 or 8 miles. And I can't just help but wonder why they were trekking so long. Have you ever had to trek in Lagos before? It's not that rampant, but about 10 years ago, you know, there were many reasons. My mom had trekked from Idimu to Ikotun before. You know, if you know Lagos well, you know that's something. For the next 2 days, my dad was pampering her, Ekpele, sorry, you know, and all of that. Why trek 8 miles? But you see, those who have trekked in Lagos can also relate. It's not as perilous when you're trekking with someone. Is that true? And you're gisting. So these guys were trekking a long distance and they were gisting. But they were gisting about something sad. something sad. And just like Lagos, somebody joined the conversation uninvited. You see that? The Bible says, verse 15, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew nigh and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of conversations are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? So they were visibly and noticeably sad. And when Jesus asked that question, they thought it was a stupid question. They were like, are you new in this community? Don't you know what had happened? Jesus. They were talking about Jesus to Jesus. It says, Jesus, a great prophet indeed, has just been killed. He was killed 3 days ago. How can you be asking why we're sad? It's such a scandal that if you see two people sad on the road at this time of the year, you should know immediately why they're sad. Why are you asking us why we're sad? Are you new here? Jesus has been killed. And I don't know if Nollywood has painted enough pictures for you. Everyone who grew up on Nollywood has tried to imagine what it would be like if they die. Maybe if you're not really into Nollywood, you won't understand. But when I'm done, you will tell me if you can relate or not. When you see so many films where people die and maybe the ghosts is watching people cry. Have you seen scenes like that? Even though the ghosts are always funny looking, they usually rub powder, wear gloves. Ghosts can pick phone call. Hello? Sorry. I'll call you back. I'm busy. I'm ghosting now. You know? But the point is, you know, when you see those scenes, you just wonder, will people cry when I go? Have you wondered that before? Don't lie. Like, what kind of impact will it have? And, you know, when you think about it from a natural standpoint, Jesus hears people sad that he died. He would think that he should be touched. They miss me. I really impacted their lives. In just 3.5 years, see the way they are sad. The whole community is sad. They love me. They miss me. Or at best, even if they should have known that you were raised back to life, but they didn't know, you would just say, okay, it's okay, I'm here. Right? But Jesus responded in a very interesting and shocking way. Look at verse 25. The Bible says, then he said unto them, O fools! Now, that's strange. People are sad. They miss you. They're sad that you're gone. And you call them fools. Can I tell you something? Jesus and God responds to revelation more than emotions. Being sad was the emotional thing to do. But it was foolish. And Jesus called them out for their foolishness. He said, oh fools. So what business do you have being sad? Oh fools. Now you're like, well, the people say if they did not try. But what about you? You've seen the movie Passion of the Christ. When you watched it, did you cry? Why were you crying? You know, so they are flogging Jesus, you know, and you're seeing the stripes. You know, the biggest mistake we made as a family was to allow our grandmother to watch that movie with us. Big mistake. You know, so she was screaming. Leave him alone. What did he do to you? She stood up. We literally had to excuse her. And maybe some of you, when you watch that movie, Till now, you're still crying. My question to you today is, would you have wanted them to stop? Don't pretend you're happy he died. Except if you don't know what his death did. Hallelujah. So there is a different response. Jesus saw people sad and he called them foolish because he didn't want them to respond that way. There's a biblical response, a revelation understanding to the death of Jesus. To see by the eyes of revelation the significance of that death. You needed that death so desperately. You needed it. So don't just respond with emotions. Respond with the knowledge of the word of God. See what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. You're going to read it with conviction. Are you there? Now read together, 1, 2, go. Hallelujah! It says, in whom we have redemption through what? That death was necessary. It was important. Because of that death I have, that death gave me something. Glory to God. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood. That death was payment for my sins. I've been redeemed. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Because he died, my sins are forgiven. Praise the Lord. You have to respond to the death of Jesus with revelation. You see, the disciples still didn't understand what was happening to him. It was a group. To them, he was a great prophet, and then he died. And then, oh, thank God, God raised him from the dead. The same Jesus raised Lazarus. Now he's alive. But it was different. This was different. And so Paul prays for you. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, he says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks to God for you, making mention of you in my prayers. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Hallelujah. Actually, there is only one spirit in redemption. So the proper rendition is, he will give you wisdom and revelation in the spirit. In the spirit that you already have. It says, so that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. To know what is the hope of his calling. The people he's talking to are already Christians. But he's praying that they will know. He has called you. You need to know the hope of that calling. What to expect. What is mine because he called me. And the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You are so rich. Listen, you need to know how rich your inheritance in Christ is. It doesn't matter how rich that inheritance is. It won't matter if you don't know. So he's praying that you would know. And then he says, the exceeding greatness of his power, us world who believe. As a result of, KJV says according to, but as a result of, I'm using as a result of, so that you will get the connection. It says, God has demonstrated exceeding great power towards you as a result of what he did in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Follow the thoughts. A natural man sees that God raised Jesus from the dead and said, God is so kind to Jesus. But Paul is praying that you will see the power of God demonstrated in your life by the resurrection of Jesus. So it takes observation to say Jesus was a good man. He was killed. God raised him up. It takes revelation to say God is good to me. And I say, how? He raised Jesus up from the dead. You see a connection between what Christ has done and who you are now by faith. That's revelation. For you to say that I am blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Heavenly places is where Christ sat. So now you're saying his being seated there benefits me. That's revelation. Hallelujah. So the next time you see pictures or videos about the death of Jesus, you just say thank you. You say, you don't say, you don't cry. Say stop, stop. Eh? Ah, don't stop, Sal. Please. We'll say what Jesus said, what God said to him at the Garden of Gethsemane. Grace is sufficient, sir. You will finish it. You will die for us. Thank you, sir. And then you say, thank you. And you say, in him I have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Say, in him I have. Say, in Christ I have redemption by his blood, the forgiveness of my sins. Say, my sins are forgiven. And then it says, according to the riches of his grace. The death of Jesus brought grace to us. His death, burial, and resurrection is the grace of God to us. So you respond with gratitude. You respond with thanksgiving. John said in the book of Revelations, Revelations chapter 1 verse 5, the second part of it, he says, unto him that loved me and washed me from my sins with his own blood. That's Revelation talking. His death washed my sins. Hallelujah. Say, my sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus. Say it again. My sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus. Say, thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Say, thank you that you died. Hallelujah. You know, a natural man will hear you say that and say, huh? Thank you that you died. But that's revelation. Glory to God. God expects you to be happy that Jesus died. He expects you to be happy. It's a good thing. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. Okay, we'll look at that later. Let's move on because of time. Hallelujah. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. We'll start from verse 9. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 9. Are you there? Read 1 John. I just like to make sure you all participate. So 1 John chapter 4 verse 9. Read together. 1, 2, go. Hallelujah. It says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. It says that was the manifestation of the love of God. God sending Jesus to die was the manifestation of the love of God. He died that we might live through him. So loud amen. Amen. And in verse 10, it says, hearing his love. He's defining love for you. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be propitiation for our sins. Verse 11, I have a lot to say about verse 10. He now says in verse 11, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now, let me ask you this. When it says, if God so loved us, what did he mean? Did he mean God loved us so much? Is that what he meant? If God loved us this way, he's talking about the death of Jesus. He's calling the death of Jesus the revelation of the love of God. If God, by doing this, loved us, we ought also to love what? One another. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. 1 John chapter 3 verse 16, it says the same thing. It says, hereby perceive we the love of God. This is how we know the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us. You see that? So the death of Jesus is the demonstration of the love of God. And he says, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We should be able to reciprocate that generosity, that sacrifice for one another. But now, 1 John 4:10, 11, I mean, says, if God so loved us. Now, that's old English. One of the barriers to biblical interpretation is language. Some people think the reason they don't understand the Bible is because they are not spiritually deep. It's not true. It's because it was written in old language, old King James language. That's the way they spoke. Thou shalt is not, it doesn't make you spiritual. That's the way they spoke at the time. Praise the Lord. So if you understand the culture, the language, you'll understand the Bible better. Very simple. Now, I said all this to lead you to a verse in the Bible I'm sure you thought you understood, but you don't understand. The most popular verse in the Bible. John 3:16. I know you know it by heart. Just open. Just oblige me. Just open. John 3:16. John 3:16. Read together, one, two, go. You know, before, when you read, for God so loved the world, you thought it meant God loved the world so te. You know, that so means so te, like so much. And make no mistake, God loves us so much. But that's not what this is saying. God so loved the world means God, by doing this, God in this way loved the world. He gave his only begotten son. He's saying what the other text said. Don't forget, the person that wrote 1 John 4:10 and 11 and the person that wrote 1 John 3:16 is the same person that wrote this. So when it says, for God so loved the world, it says, this is how God loved the world. He gave his only begotten son. So he's letting you know that the death of Jesus was the demonstration of the love of God. I know there are various editions of the New Living Translation, but some translations get it right. Do you have NLT? Let's see if the one you have got it right. Okay, this got it wrong. Who has NLT? If you have NLT with you, maybe I should have checked before. This is, they do revised versions all the time. There's a particular one, I think the latest one, that actually got it right. Who has NLT? This is worth the wait. Are you opening it? Thank you. Please read it.
For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life.
Thank you very much. Now, it says, for this is how, instead of God so, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son. Is that clear? Do you get that now? So, someone says, why is that important? I will tell you why. First of all, because that's what it actually means. And then secondly, when you understand that the death of Jesus is the demonstration of the love of God, your conviction of God's love stops fluctuating. If you thought John 3:16 meant God so loved the world, sometimes you feel God loves me so much. And sometimes you'll be like, I'm not even sure. He loves me so. Sometimes your soul is louder. Because sometimes we struggle. Because of all the things that we do, our imperfections. Praise the Lord. Before today, if I asked you, probably if you didn't know what I'm saying, I asked you, how do you know God loves you? You say, I know it. I feel it. I feel it. Ah, he loves me so much. He loves me so much. I say, how do you know? Because of that last job he gave me. Then maybe things get hard. And I'll say, does God love you? Sometimes. But when you understand that the death of Jesus is the demonstration of the love of God, he cannot undo it. God has demonstrated his love once and for all. So no matter what I go through, even at the lowest ebb of my life, my conviction of the love of God is the cross. So when things are going good, when they're not, I look at the cross, the love of God is steadfast and everlasting. He cannot change his mind. So every day, every moment, every hour, ask me if God loves me and my answer is the same. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Say, God loves me this way.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,